Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
On February 2nd, Jen McCabe actually turns her phone over to law enforcement. This is also the day that the official police report from Canton PD is submitted. It only has one photo because there was only one taken at the time. And in that photo, there's no taillight pieces or any of the evidence that they found shown. On February 3rd, State PD goes to inspect John's home and car, his Traverse. They would later report that there was no damage to the vehicle. Proctor and Buchanek actually go to Fairview on this day for another search because some of the snow had melted. Now, this is reportedly Proctor's first time at the crime scene, which is kind of fucking stupid because now we're a couple days in. This is one of several searches, and this is a few searches in, but now all of a sudden they find John's baseball hat, a cocktail straw, and pieces of broken glass. They also find pieces of plastic consistent with a taillight. They then interview Brian Higgins, who provides them with his digital and printed out copies of his text threads. They also go to interview Nicole Albert, where Brian Albert is present for the interview. Now, Brian's a cop. Like, he should know better. That's probably why he wanted to be sitting in there. On February 4th now, Canton Police Chief Ken Berkowitz drives by Fairview Road in his cruiser on the way to work. He says that he, quote, glanced over and saw pieces of a taillight in the yard while he's driving. So he calls Buchanek to come collect what he found. Buchanek gets on the scene only to find out that actually Lieutenant Gallagher and several others from Canton PD had actually already responded and taken pictures, which was an issue because Canton PD was no longer part of the investigation. It's noted that Chief Berkowitz has direct ties to the Alberts. He's close personal friends with Brian Higgins. Kevin Albert is a Canton officer, so that's his boss, and he did contribute to Chris Albert's selectman campaign. Now, more pieces of taillight were found by Proctor on February 8th, the 10th, the 11th, and the 18th. Now, he doesn't mention this to anybody, including an upcoming grand jury. This actually doesn't come out until September of 2013, when these undocumented searches are actually brought up by the defense, and they want information about them. Now, on the 4th also, Proctor then takes possession of John's cell phone from another trooper and says he, quote, performed an extraction. Proctor again sends more text messages, this one to his sister saying, quote, hopefully Reed kills herself, which is awesome. On February 7th, John's funeral is held. It is held at St. Francis of Assisi Church on Washington Street in Braintree, Massachusetts. Hundreds of officers line the street. Boston Police Superintendent Gregory Long gave a speech saying he was a kind man dedicated to his family and he'll be greatly missed. This is where I stopped liking Karen, to be completely honest with you, because this, how the fuck do you say this and let somebody print it? Karen told Vanity Fair later she viewed the funeral as performative, saying, quote, the whole Irish cop departed bagpipe thing. There's nothing holy about this. She said it was the biggest farce next to her trial and that the people outside were nowhere to be found in delivering justice to John. She could have left out the first fucking comment. That pissed me off. Now, on February 8th, Proctor interviews a Canton firefighter who says he heard Karen say to another female, I hit him. And then the female tells her to be quiet. On the 10th, Proctor and Buchanek conduct a pre-scheduled interview with Chris and Julie Albert. They are interviewed together at their home. again, interviewed together. And why are we waiting so many fucking days to interview these people? And they're not fucking recorded. You don't take that good of notes. I don't take that good of fucking notes. How do you remember this shit? On February 22nd, the kids are interviewed at the Norfolk Advocates for Children's Center in Foxborough, Mass. I feel fucking terrible for them. They lose their parents, and then they lose John. Like, they don't know what the hell's going on. On February 26th, Cal and Albert is photographed at a Boston bar with friends. He's underage. The big thing about this photo is that the knuckles on his right hand appear to be bruised and cut up. He would later testify that he injured his hand when he fell on a steep, icy driveway and he braced himself, which I call bullshit because you don't fall on the back of your hand. And it's pretty distinctive, the marks that you get when you hit somebody. They call it a boxer's fracture for a reason. Evidence isn't moved over to the state police until March 14th. So it sat for a while. Now, in April 2022, obviously, Norfolk County convenes a grand jury. The defense calls the digital investigator Richard Green in. He testifies that location data has been deleted from Karen's phone, and there's evidence that it was deleted after the phone was in possession of police. Steven Seraph also testifies. He says he didn't hear anything about Karen hitting anybody and that she would just repeatedly ask if he was dead. The big part of this grand jury, though, is Proctor doesn't mention all of his undocumented searches, and he actually testifies before the grand jury that he doesn't know any members of the Albert or McCabe families. He says, quote, "I did not know the McCabes, and I don't know most of the Alberts, and I have little to no relationship with Chris and Julie," which is complete bullshit. He at no point in time went to his supervisors about the conflict of interest, despite the fact that he had worked with Kevin Albert on a case before. In May, May 18th, the defense realizes that a warrant that they had for a geofence only includes Google accounts and Google Play stores, which really doesn't do them shit because everybody had iPhones. So they needed really an Apple, you know, warrant or it to say all smartphones. So they emailed the assistant district attorney Lally to ask if the preservation request could be changed to include all smartphones. The following day, the ADA actually responds to the defense's email request with a modified version of the preservation request, which is good, so he did it. However, he never sent it over to Google. Instead, he sent Google a duplicate of the original email. In May of 2022, and this becomes an issue later, there's a reason I'm bringing it up, Brian and Nicole Albert's German Shepherd, Chloe, gets out in the backyard, and gets into a fight with another dog, and two people are injured. The Canton Animal Control then writes a quarantine order for Chloe. According to the Alberts, Chloe is then rehomed to a farm in Vermont owned by a single woman who just didn't want to be alone anymore. Which, are you fucking kidding me? You couldn't come up with a better story than what your parents fucking told you when you were kids? That the dog went to the farm? Like, you did not actually send your dog to a fucking farm in Vermont. Nobody could ever find the farm. Nobody could ever find the lonely woman who needed a fucking giant German Shepherd who likes to bite people. This was not the first time Chloe had bit somebody. She had gotten into a fight with another dog in 2018. And when that dog owner called the animal control to report it, Kevin Albert handled the call. So, I can't get over the whole farm story. Everybody's heard that. Either you heard it, or your friends heard it, or you heard about somebody who heard it. The dog goes to the farm. We all know what that fucking means. What'd you do with the goddamn dog? So, I don't know. The end of May, the defense's accident reconstructionist goes to the police barracks to inspect Karen's SUV. They find out that when she gets there, she can't inspect it because the taillight pieces and the entire mounting unit are removed and gone. So they just paid this woman for nothing. So now it's June 7th. The defense is like, where the fuck is my shit from Google? They demand that the ADA sends over all the information that they should have gotten, which one of them should have been an auto response from Google. They didn't get any of it. They do find out, though, however, that the geofence warrant shows that Proctor requested only a 6-hour window from 12:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m., which is not the entire time that the defense had requested. It also stated that devices not in the area long enough should be removed from the warrant, despite the list of names given. Time shouldn't have mattered. And that all data should be sent directly to him via email, which makes him the only person deciding what's relevant. On June 9th, Karen is again indicted by the grand jury and rearrested on upgraded charges of second-degree murder, manslaughter while operating under the influence of alcohol, leaving the scene of personal injury and or death accident. Apparently in Massachusetts, defendants can be upcharged when significant new evidence is discovered. The problem is that the significant new evidence that was discovered was, I don't want to say it was bullshit, but I don't feel like it was significant. One of the things that they used was Karen's blood alcohol level taken at the hospital. Okay, so she was still drunk. We get that. The second part was the kids' interview. Both kids said that they argued. Everybody argues, but that's apparently enough significant evidence to get bumped up to second-degree murder. Who knows? So Karen's arraigned the next day in Norfolk Superior Court, and she's released after posting a $100,000 bond. So in July 19th, Proctor and Kevin Albert, you know, the guy who he doesn't know and has no association with, go out and get shit-faced. Proctor's driving a state-issued vehicle, and Kevin leaves his badge in the car. When Proctor tells him that, Kevin's only response is, did he leave his gun there too? But they don't know each other, right? Don't forget that. Shortly after that, Higgins actually reports to his supervisor that he received a call on his personal cell phone from an individual who was the target of an ongoing investigation. This person allegedly said they got Higgins' number online, and Higgins would later say that this was really the catalyst for him replacing his cell phone. On August 16th, Proctor was granted a search warrant for Karen's cell phone. He got halfway through. He did a partial search on the phone before allegedly finding privileged communications between Karen and her attorney, Yannetti. He would go on to say that these text messages were self-incriminating messages from Karen to Yannetti, but obviously they could never be released because they're privileged, because it's between her and her attorney. The problem with that is that these text messages that he allegedly saw were allegedly sent before Karen had even retained Yannetti. She didn't know Yannetti. And that's when he said the messages were sent. Now, he also sends out a group text that includes Buchanek saying, quote, no nudes yet. On September 4th, according to later testimony, Brian Albert's phone breaks on this day. On September 15th, the defense files a motion for a court order to preserve cell phones and data on said cell phones for Brian Albert, Julie Albert, Colin Albert, and Brian Higgins. They list various reasons. Brian Albert has close ties with Canton PD. They want Julie Albert's phone because of the 4:55 a.m. phone call from McCabe. Because again, this is when Julie said she found out John died. And then Jen McCabe's, just because obviously she can't keep her shit straight. So this whole Vanity Fair article, obviously it's mostly from the defense. They would say that they were just having issues left and right, getting evidence. So because of this, and because of the issues of, you know, with the cell phone evidence, Karen reaches out to an LA-based attorney by the name of Alan Jackson. Now, this guy, he was a prosecutor turned defense attorney. When he was a prosecutor, he helped put Phil Spector, who obviously murdered a woman, in jail. And when he was a defense attorney, he got Kevin Spacey out of a groping charge from cell phone evidence. That's why she went for this guy. She put in the subject line, hang on, I had to turn the page again, quote, murder of a Boston cop. She sent injury pictures over to him, and Alan Jackson said, quote, that's an animal attack. If there's any medical examiner or district attorney or lead investigator out there claiming that's from a car, that's bullshit. And if that's not true, what else isn't true? Now we get into Higgins and his fuckery. So in late October of 2022, this is all his stuff. So per him and per Higgins in his initial statement, he asks for and receives court permission to dispose of his old cell phone. He removes the SIM card, destroys it, and throws it out on a military base in Cape Cod. Now, he would go on to tell the grand jury that he was served with the order, drove to the military base in Cape Cod, destroyed his phone, and discussed it with Brian Albert. According to trial testimony, he never contacted anyone before disposing of the cell. He never received anything in writing, canceling, or lifting the cell preservation order, but got rid of the cell phone anyways. He couldn't remember if he destroyed the SIM card and said he would sometimes throw out trash at the army, at the military base if driving through or going to the duty-free shop. It's not even like a good lie. It's just not. He said he didn't have anything from the old phone and he didn't transfer it over because, quote, I didn't have the typical memories that somebody would have had on their phone that they wanted to preserve. I don't believe you. You don't want to transfer anything? Your contacts? Nothing? You put everything new in? I have a hard time believing that. Really hard time believing that. So, phone records now show that calls between Higgins and Brian Albert actually existed, even though both say that they were butt dials. He would tell the grand jury that there was no contact with anyone in the house after he left for the night. And when he was confronted with phone records, he admits to the call, but then says he never spoke to Brian. In trial, he says that they spoke, but he can't remember what they talked about. And in an additional grand jury, he said he didn't know that John and Karen were coming to Fairview Road. However, phone records show that he did text John at 12:22 a.m., quote, where are you? So these guys can't even keep their shit straight. None of them can. At all. On October 25th, the defense is finally provided with the Canton Police Department incident report after 9 months. This is the report that was created on January 29th. Now, Yannetti had the original from Karen's arraignment on February 2nd, or that was dated February 2nd, excuse me. He could immediately tell that the one he just received was an altered version of the original. Now, both have the same date and time stamps. However, in the new one he's given, Brian Albert's phone number has been changed. The original contained only one photo of the crime scene, and there were no taillight pieces seen. The altered one contained a photo taken of the crime scene on February 3rd, the day Proctor found the taillight pieces, and it was taken by Massachusetts State Police. So, thank God he kept the original. On November 17th, Brian Albert lists 34 Fairview Road for sale. In January of 2023, Lieutenant Gallagher, who's the Canton officer who processed the scene, which that's fuckery, we'll get to that, he turns in his first and only report about his involvement in the case. I can understand like a day or two, but like a year? You don't remember shit. And if you had it, why didn't you turn it in? Like, this has obviously become a big fucking to-do over the course of the last year. You didn't think turning it in would be something, like, important? So, on February 17th, 2023, 34 Fairview Road is sold. Now, what I found out later was that when they sold the house, there was, like, a shit ton of carpeting and everything that the people ripped out. Karen Reed bought. So, she has quote-unquote evidence from this house that she's keeping. On April 10th of 2023, at 10:46 in the morning, Colin Albert is served with a grand jury subpoena by two FBI agents while he is at school. This is the first time that he has actually been legally involved in this investigation. In April of 2023, blogger Aiden Turtle Boy Kearney starts posting about Karen and her case. He's got a blog. He's all over social media. He immediately starts saying Karen is being framed and the prosecution's case is a cover-up. He then starts communicating with one of Karen's friends, which he becomes a big, big fucking to-do. Like, he comes up so many goddamn times